on 97.7 FM and online. This is Dundalk FM. I'd like to play a game
that is so much fun. Hi, my name is Mike McMahon and I would like to welcome you all to a very special one-off show here on Dundalk FM, your local community radio. Today's show will be a panel discussion on one of Dundalk's most notable landmarks, the Adelphi Building, right here in the heart of Dundalk Town Centre. I'm joined today by three of my colleagues and we have a selection of topics to discuss. So before we do that, let me ask each of our panel members to introduce themselves and maybe just give us a brief description of their first introduction into the Adelphi.
Hello, my name's Kevin Larney, and although the Adelphi has had many forms over the years, as the youngest member of the group, I've only ever known it as the cinema. So later in the show, we'll be talking through some of our memories, some of the films we saw in Dundalk's, one of Dundalk's finest cinemas.
Hi, my name is Pat Hamilton, and though I live just outside the town, I must confess to not having the experience of attending any of the dance in the Adelphi. I enjoyed many productions in the cinema unit until it closed. No doubt my colleagues will have some fantastic musical memories of that time in the Adelphi.
Hi, my name is Peter Kirk, and I would have gone to the cinema originally as a child, probably being brought to films like Darby O'Gill and The Little People in particular, which scared the living daylights out of me, but the pills do work. And I would have gone on many occasions to the Adelphi Ballroom, stroke dance hall, stroke whatever, different variations of it. So I'm looking forward to sharing some memories with the guys here.
Thanks for that. That's my panel introduced for today. And we've got a number of topics to cover. So Kevin's in here first with this one.
I think, yeah, as I was saying earlier on, I'm only a young whip and I only ever knew it as the cinema. And it would have closed. So it closed in the early 2000s. I would have still been 9 or 10. But my fondest or strongest memory of it was seeing the Star Wars, I was going to say the original Star Wars, but the first Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, with my dad and my brother, and then go into Sweet Fanny Adams afterwards for food. But I think George Lucas gets a lot of slack about that film for characters that were geared towards children just to sell toys, and I can say safely that it worked. I thought it was fantastic.
Well, I suppose if I can just take over there, it's key to remember that the Adelphi Building itself, actually, it opened originally as a cinema. It opened its doors in May of 1947, and it ran that cinema until it actually closed in the mid-2000s. So it basically originally, as I say, it was a cinema on its own, and that was the mainstay of it. And, yeah. And I certainly, my first introduction to it was all the way back in 1977. I got to go and see Rocky in the cinema. My dad took me along to that, and the thing for me, the memory that sticks out, was the fact that the queues wrapped round the estate that evening. And I remember standing in that queue. It was actually during the summer, t-shirt on. Thankfully, it was warm enough that evening. But standing there thinking, how long is it going to take me to get into the cinema? It must have took at least an hour, I'd say, before we even got into the cinema. So that's certainly my recollection of it. And what about you guys?
Well, like yourself, I remember the queues. And I remember going, and my biggest fear was, wasn't how long it would take to get in, was would you get in? Would the place be full? And that was one of the things, and one of the most memorable productions I can remember there was The Great Escape with the late and great Steve McQueen. It was just a fantastic experience. But again, in the early days, when there wasn't any other cinemas, well, there was The Magnet, but when all the big shows were coming to town, the queues were there.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Great Escape, absolutely fantastic movie. Peter?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of gentler times. So I would have seen Mary Poppins in the cinema as well. And it was a big screen and it was a big venue. So compared to the old black and white television on a little table in the house, so the cinema was magic. Mary Poppins, and then obviously the Disney stuff, Lady and the Tramp, which I only recently found out was actually produced before I was born, although I thought I would have seen it on its first spin through. So the cinema, and it gave you a love for cinema as opposed to watching films on TV. But I must admit now, I don't get to the cinema as often as I should.
Daphne, for myself now, it was every evening you'd get to the cinema, it was an experience. And one of the things that sticks out for me is the actual sign above. Well, it's not actually a sign, it's more like a sculpture. Do you guys, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yep.
And I just found out recently that that piece of art, as it is, that's not the original. That's actually just a copy of the original. But Kevin, you bring us a little bit more about your interaction, because you're the youngest member of the panel here. So obviously for you, we're going to go back a little bit further in terms of the other aspects of it. But so give us a little bit more insight from you on this.
I only go back so far, I suppose. But I remember, and maybe some of you could verify this, I think maybe there was an issue that they had the building rented up until a certain time, but they weren't bringing in new films. I seem to remember that Godzilla from the late 90s, early 2000s was running there for months on end. It wasn't a particularly great film, but I remember going to see that there. And that's like my last memory of it, but they had the old cinema style lettering outside introducing what was on. I remember that being there for what seemed like months on end. But it definitely is more of an experience. I think Dundalk has a great history of having cinemas. And I think the Adelphi was probably the biggest one over the years.
Yeah, I certainly think it was a big loss when it did close. And I think I'm kind of in the middle here, folks, on this, because I'm old enough to remember when we had stalls downstairs in the Adelphi, and you also had the balcony. And you were very privileged if you managed to get up into the balcony. Well, I certainly felt that way. What about you guys?
Well, Peter made a comment there, and it's very, very, there's a huge difference between Mary Poppins and The Great Escape. He's spoken to gentle, some comparison.
Yeah. Well, actually, another thing, when Kevin mentioned about the cinemas, I do remember as a penniless teenager that I probably would have gone to the Magnet more often, because the Magnet was cheaper. And if you got the money to go to the Adelphi, you surely weren't going to the balcony, because the balcony was... It was mainly reserved for couples. So they used to say love stories begin in Chivago. That was a club in Dublin that I could tell you stories about. But I'd say a fair few love stories may not have begun, but I'd say they blossomed in the double seats in the balcony.
Well, Peter, you made a comment there now that it was very expensive as a teenager. But would it also be fair to say you also were in a privileged position, used to get a few free passes for the Magnet?
Yeah, that's true. That's true, as an altar boy. But the other point, and the queues was, now that I'm remembering as well, but Leakey, and that piece about, can I get sweets, Mammy? And she'd say, no, hold on, till you see if we get in first. You'd get the sweets after that. So,
And then the sweets were always more expensive in the cinema than they were in the shop.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much, Kevin, for bringing us down that road of discussing the cinema at the Adelphi building here in Dundalk. Of course, the Adelphi building was used for many other things, and of course, music itself played a big part in what happened in the Adelphi. So we're just going to give a little bit of an introduction into that next topic with the... certainly a man that was probably a little bit before my time, but this is the inimitable Mr. Brendan Boyle.
was Brendan Bauer with the Hucklebuck. I've taken over the hot seat now to introduce Pat Hamilton to talk about our next topic. The Adelphi was all so famous for music over the years, and Pat's going to tell us a bit about his music experience there.
Yeah, well, not only was that a great hit here for Brendan Bauer here in Ireland, but he, as a result of it, he ended up in Las Vegas for the next, well, I don't know if he's retired yet, but he certainly made a few shillings on that one. Like I said, I was never fortunate enough to get to the dances in the Adelphi, but from talking to my colleagues here, certainly there are a lot of stories to be told. I'll just ask you, Mike, first of all, what's your most what musical memory do you have of the Adelphi? Your most...
Well, I suppose actually it's something we had actually discussed off mic earlier on, and it was the fact that my first introduction to it was the Thin Lizzy concert, and I can't actually place the date, but I'm pretty sure it was maybe 78 or 79, and I was just absolutely amazed at the quantity of people that turned up at that building to see that band. We're talking about thousands of people turning up to try and get into a hall that would hold maybe, you're lucky, 1,000 people. So there were an awful lot of disappointed Thin Lizzy followers that evening, because in actual fact, and certainly I know myself, I wasn't in there for it, but people didn't leave. People stayed because they kind of, you could hear the noise, you could actually hear the music coming from the building. So people actually stayed, and it was almost like a concert that extended out into the street. It was such, it was a musical experience that evening for such a young chap like myself, as I was at the time.
And had health and safety been invented then for crowd control?
Oh, crowd control wasn't on the cards at all that evening. And in fairness, I don't remember any incidents at all that evening. I simply remember everyone having a great time. And those people that didn't get in, it wasn't that there was anyone getting angry about it. They just stayed. They had their drinks on the green across the main green there, and everybody just enjoyed the evening.
They savoured the moment.
Absolutely did, yes.
And Peter, what about yourself?
Yeah, unfortunately, many of my best memories have kind of been muddied in the passage of time, and probably a certain amount of alcohol before I went into it, because that's what would have happened in those days. I probably remember more so bands like the Memories coming through as a very, very professional covers band, a really top quality covers band, and particularly around the 70s, because they had made the break from the show band guys that probably preceded me going to the Adelphi. So the Memories were a pretty big draw in those days.
Right.
Probably it's the memories of missing gigs, because I was working away when Eric Clapton played here. So he probably doesn't even remember playing in Dundalk either, because he was at one of his low points. So there's been a lot of top guys playing it. But when you think of it over the years, I think it was the regular Friday night dances, people coming from Monaghan, etc. And in those days, people travelled to see bands and play around, which, you know, those venues don't exist anymore. Yeah. So there was no bar in the dance hall, so that was a positive thing as well.
And Peter, you mentioned earlier on about Zhivago. You were a high flyer in Dublin at the time. How did the likes of bands in Zhivago compare to?
Well, Zhivago was a nightclub, so it was like music and low lights and alcoves and things like that. Whereas the Adelphi was a big rectangular room.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether there was still the remnants of the boys and the girls. So the girls would congregate over kind of on one side, and the boys would congregate over on the other side. And fellas would be sort of practicing their kung fu moves, etc. And then when a proper song would come on, it did come in then and start dancing.
Kevin, you mentioned you're the youngest member of the group. You probably weren't around at the time of the ballrooms, but
no.
Can you recall hearing your parents talking about them, or what are your earliest musical introductions? Maybe not the Adelphi.
Well, maybe not in the Adelphi, no. I suppose we would have had, there was a lot of musical gigs out in what is now a bingo hall, the bowling alley, on the way out of town there, and of course the Spirit Store and the AOL Centre. Back before those two. But just for my own interest of the Adelphi Bowl, how many people would it have held? Like, what size of a venue would it have been? Would it have been, if you were doing a tour of Ireland, would it be one of the spots to hit outside of the cities?
It probably
yeah,
would.
Yeah, yeah. In those days, it's a good point. The number of people in the hall was never reflected in the takings, and that had a lot to do with the revenue commissioners, I'm sure. So,
right.
And before health and safety, it would just pack people into the place, really. Yeah.
And before we go off the topic of the ballrooms, Mike and Peter, the question for you both: how does going to a live, from your memory, how does going to a live show in the Adelphi compared to going to a live show in any of the major areas now where it's all electronically controlled and enhanced?
Well, obviously, it's a very different event nowadays. It's so well controlled. Everything's digitized, all that kind of thing. But it was an experience. It was a learning experience. And it certainly helped in my formative creative years and my interest in music. And I wouldn't change it at all.
And yourself, Peter?
Yeah, I think it's the scale. So the scale of things is much different now, and even the sort of what you might call regular bands have much better technology and equipment and sound equipment and all of that. So I think it's technology has moved on, but the experience is still the same.
Yeah.
If you hear a good band, no matter what they're capable, you know, what venue they're playing in, if you hear a good band, that sort of lives with you anyway.
And Kevin, yourself, you probably listen to music from the past.
Yeah, I've listened to one or two songs, but I think we're gonna have to stop here for a word from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with one of the songs, I suppose, that would have been featured in the Adelphi.
Thank you.
On 97.7 FM and online, this is Dundalk FM.
The Dundalk Democrat has been bringing you Dundalk's best news and sports service since 1849. And now this week's paper has a great new look. Pick up the redesigned paper on Tuesday. It's packed with news, views, features and great photographs capturing every aspect of local life. We get the latest views from Dundalk people on the planned revamp of Clonbrassil Street. Plus a special pullout, All Our Yesterdays, which takes a look back at how the Democrat has covered local life down through the years. There are also vibrant new Dundalk Life and Community sections covering everything that's happening in the area. It's all in your new look, Dundalk Democrat on Tuesday. Don't miss it.
Hi, Mike McMahon here. Are you a fan of Depeche Mode like myself? Can you remember a time when bands like Yazoo were the gods of synth? Or maybe you just like to bop around the kitchen to the great sound of Erasure? Well, if you fancy an hour of great music and finding out what it is that links these three great bands together, then tune in to my Spotlight show on Wednesday the 18th of April at 7 p.m. here on Dundalk FM. Oh, and make sure you bring those dancing shoes.
You're listening to Dundalk's local community radio.
Yeah.
And there we have The Long Riders with Who'll Stop the Rain by John Fogarty, who, I may add, is playing in the Point Depot, the O3 Arena, the O2 Arena, whatever it's called now, but in October. So the Adelphi always had the same name and will always have the same name. Big venues will change, depend on sponsorships and all that, but the Adelphi will live long in the hearts of people in Dundalk. And apart from it being a cinema and a dance hall, which we've talked about earlier, the Adelphi was kind of a multi-purpose venue. And even before the term was coined. So we had a restaurant and a bar, we had a pizza parlour, a music venue called The Venue, and a Rock Island Diner, not forgetting Sweet Fanny Adams. And I can't remember Sweet Fanny Adams because I had young kids at the time, so I wasn't really going out much at night in those days. There was the Extravision Video Rentals, which that sounds ironic because it was a video rental replacing a cinema. So we lost the social gathering of a cinema and we all, in our tracksuit bottoms, got exercise walking to get a video to go home again. And now we have the Jade Garden, residential shops, cafes and offices in the whole old complex. And the Long Riders themselves would have played in the Adelphi over the years, both as individuals and different bands, the Merry Max, etc. So I'm just going to open it up to the lads now in terms of where you saw the Adelphi, where it came from, where it is now, and maybe what would the Adelphi look like in a few years' time. So I'll just leave it open to whoever, Pat, if you want to come in on that first.
Well, I hope, like, my first memory of Adelphi was the size, the front, the structure, and the famous dome type thing, and I hope that's never replaced. I hope it's a listed building, because no matter what's behind the shell, it's, you know, my first memory, and a lot of people be the same, it was completely different. What about yourselves, lads?
I absolutely agree with you there, Pat. It is actually a listed building, I happen to know that. Brilliant. And they're not allowed to change the front facade of it. And I think that's great, because it is a landmark. It really is a true landmark for Dundalk. And Peter was correct in everything that he said there. It's one of those buildings that it had such a multiple use purpose. Yeah. I certainly remember vividly the downtown club that was attached to the back end of it, because I would have went roller skating there weekend after weekend, and I certainly would have had a few drinks in the bar and would have partaken in some of the food in the diner that opened up beside it. So all in all, for me, it was a superb location to represent Dundalk town.
Yeah, definitely disagree with the lads. It's an iconic piece of Dundalk. I think everyone would recognise it when they've seen it. In terms of where you want to see it in a few years, I mean, I think Dundalk is pretty full up of cinemas at the moment. There's no need for it to return to that. Doesn't really need another venue, so I think as apartments and maybe as a restaurant, that's probably, I think, how it'll finish out the rest of its days.
Yeah. So listen, we're coming towards the end of the show now, and we're going to play out with another Long Riders track, but you can just see that the Adelphi has is an important part of the history of Dundalk, and let's hope that it's also an important part of the future of Dundalk. So we're just going to play out here with the Long Riders again, and it's Everything Making It Big But Me.
But all I got is my right hand, and everybody's making it big but me.
You're listening to Dundalk's local community radio,